Well, in their first attempt, LSU gets a win in SEC play, a 31-16 home win against Mississippi State. What went right? How did LSU win this game? And what are some takeaways that LSU can build upon and improve upon moving forward? We'll get into that, plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, we are part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And throughout the football season, we'll have a different day reacting to different parts of the game or to different aspects of Brian Kelly's press conferences. So make sure to check us out on your preferred podcast platform. But we're also on YouTube as well. So just search Locked On LSU in that search bar. Hit that subscribe button and you'll get notified as soon as Locked On LSU drops. So you won't miss a single second of your Locked On LSU content. A 31-16 win against Mississippi State, LSU's first SEC game of SEC play, and they are in the win column. So LSU currently sits at 2-1 on the season after that win against Mississippi State. But to take, you know, a phrase from Mike Vrabel, it wasn't pretty, but it was beautiful. And that's exactly how I feel about LSU's win against Mississippi State, because at the end of the day, it was a win. At the end of the day, it was a two-touchdown win against an in-division, in-conference opponent. And we'll take that any day of the week. But it wasn't the prettiest process. And I wouldn't blame you if at the half you were thinking, oh, goodness gracious, this isn't just going to be a long night, but this is going to be a very long season. I don't blame you, because it didn't look great in the first quarter, in the first half. And I want to get into the three things that I liked from that game from LSU and also the three things that I didn't like. I'll do that the day after reacting to every game. But what I first want to touch on before we get into kind of the X's and O's and really the nitty gritty of that game is just to caution everyone that a win against Mississippi State, albeit important, I would say that a loss to Mississippi State would have been a much bigger deal than a win against Mississippi State is. And I'll explain this. LSU beats Mississippi State. That's just how it goes. And I understand, you know, you look at that 2020 game where Mississippi State just absolutely beat up on LSU. I understand. That was the first peek behind the decline of LSU after that 2019 season. And I understand in 2017, Mississippi State got a win. I understand. But overall, you know, LSU has never played any team more than they have played Mississippi State. And LSU has a commanding lead on that record between LSU and Mississippi State. LSU just beat Mississippi State. LSU is a better program than Mississippi State. LSU recruits better players than Mississippi State. That's just what LSU does. They beat Mississippi State. And I don't want to undermine the win because it's important. Because I spent all last week talking about how important it was to get an SEC win, how important it was to start to shift this narrative about Brian Kelly, that to go from, you know, after week one, an embarrassing national television loss to Florida State. Now you have to start shifting things around. Now you have to start making changes and also having those changes be reflected in the scoreboard. Those are all important things. And a win, I will never undermine the importance of a win, especially in year one of a new coaching staff. I will never undermine the importance of that. But also let's keep in mind, this is a win against an unranked Mississippi State team that went 7-5 in the regular season last year. It's a Mississippi State team that, albeit in the first 2 weeks, looked very impressive against Memphis and Arizona. This is a Mississippi State team that LSU should beat year in and year out. This is a Mississippi State team that, you know, it just all is right with the world when LSU gets those wins. And LSU's road down the line does not get any easier. Looking at a stretch against Auburn and Florida and Tennessee and Alabama and Arkansas and Texas A&M, their jobs do not get any easier. So picking up a win against a Mississippi State team that, albeit it's not a bad team by any means whatsoever, albeit it's a game at home that you need to win. These are games that, you know, the games that you need to win because your job against Alabama and Arkansas isn't going to be easy. So you got to pick up the SEC wins where you can get them, especially in a first-year head coach, especially when the narrative needs to start shifting. So I don't want to undermine the win, but I also want to caution everyone that LSU got the job done, that the job that they needed to do, they got done. And that's good. Good. Get a win. Get a, you know, a tally in the win column. That's what you want, need to do. And you go on to New Mexico next week. You got an easier job next week, and then things get really difficult. So, you know, ideally, you're 3-1 going into Auburn. You feel pretty good about that, into the really the meat and potatoes of your schedule, the brunt of your schedule. So those are all good things. But let's remember, LSU got the job done that they needed to, that LSU beats Mississippi State. And that's a good, and you know, in 2021, LSU beat Mississippi State, and that was the year that Coach O was fired. So as important as that win was, as important as it is to now be above 500, as important as it is to pick up the SEC wins wherever you can get them, as important as it is to start shifting the narrative about Brian Kelly, a win against Mississippi State doesn't completely change the national perception of LSU. Sure, a win does help, but it doesn't completely shift it. It doesn't completely change it. So while these are all good things, while a win against Mississippi State is very much so a good thing, still got a whole heck of a lot of work to do. But there were some really good things that we saw in that game. There were some changes that I think should have been made. There were some players that continued to show promise, that continued to show good things. And there were also a few bad things that I took away from that game as well. So coming up next, I want to get into some of the three things that I didn't like from LSU on Saturday night. And then we'll finish on a positive note, the three things that I did like. And I'll be honest with you, it was difficult to only narrow it down to three things that I did like. But we'll get into that later on in the show coming up next. Three things that I didn't like from LSU on Saturday night against Mississippi State. That's coming up next. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments. They've got game matchups, news and podcasts, and this week's game. So BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information. They've got live betting, esports, and scores. Plus, it's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events. They've got MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. This is my favorite time of the baseball season. We've only got a couple weeks left into the postseason. So place some bets, some end-of-the-season bets on BetOnline.net. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, you can find us on YouTube as well. Just search Locked On LSU in that search bar, hit the subscribe button, and you will not miss a single second of your Locked On LSU content. So LSU with a big 31-16 win over Mississippi State. They get a win in SEC play, 2-1 going into New Mexico. We're feeling good. But albeit the final score, I don't think was incredibly indicative of how the entire game played out, because LSU absolutely ran away with that game in the second half. And I want to get into exactly what went right for LSU to move forward and to continue to dominate that game in the second half. But a few things that I didn't like from Saturday, and a few things that I think LSU can look at, or at least things that I'll be focusing on moving forward to say, hey, LSU needs to build upon that, needs to improve upon that, because, you know, like I mentioned, the job doesn't get any easier. So you continue to build upon those things and get better and fix those things when you kind of shot yourself in the foot, to take a phrase from Brian Kelly away, when you kind of shot yourself in the foot to no longer do that. Because when you shoot yourself in the foot in the first half against Alabama, you're not going to have that second half comeback, because that team's just better than Mississippi State. But first and foremost, the first thing that I didn't like, I think the most glaringly obvious thing from that entire game was the slow start. And that was exactly what the problem was against Florida State, was that LSU didn't really start to get their things together, their ish together, until later on in the second half, until, you know, late in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter. That's when things really started to click. And that makes sense, you know, a team that doesn't have a lot of experience together, a team that doesn't have experience overall, you know, it's a very young team overall. You can probably start to expect that, you know, in the first game, in the second half, things start to click. But what kind of made me a little bit nervous about this game against Mississippi State is they came out like that again. They came out looking a little bit iffy. They came out looking not completely cohesive. And that was a little bit of a disappointment for me. I mean, the first drive, 3 Jaden Daniels incompletions in a row. Second drive, go for it on 4th and 1. You don't get it. Third drive, 3 and out. You know, slow start on offense. 4th drive, Jaden Daniels has a nice short pass to Josh Williams under pressure, then fumbles the handoff to Josh Williams. I mean, that makes their job so much more difficult whenever you start out slow and whenever you start to take, you know, when you're taking 2 steps back and 1 step forward, that makes your job so much more difficult. Like getting themselves in a situation to move the ball down the field, getting themselves out of 3rd and 4th down territory, and then you fumble the ball and hand the ball over to Mississippi State. And then they capitalize on those mistakes. So that slow start was exactly what Brian Kelly pointed out against Florida State. That was the problem, was coming out playing fast, coming out playing safe and clean football. I didn't see that in that first half against Mississippi State. Now, of course, things started to click. Things started to work together. Things started to kind of work themselves out. And I think the players kind of settled in and felt a little bit more comfortable. But it makes me a little bit concerned that here we are in week 3 and LSU still coming out starting slow. That's going to be one thing that I noticed. You know, of course, against New Mexico, that's something that it's like the Southern game. I don't know how much you really can take away from that game. But of course, it's a confidence builder game. But against Auburn, I want to see, do they come out playing clean and playing fast football? Because this team, by week 5, you're going to be together enough and you're going to learn each other enough that you can start to come out playing a little bit faster. So one thing was the slow start. Of course, they dug themselves out of it. So that was a good thing. And I'll get into that coming up next. But I don't like how I continue to see against Florida State and also against Mississippi State, how I continue to see this LSU team need a quarter or two to really start to settle in and start to get things moving offensively. The second thing that I didn't like was that the offensive line penalties continue. We saw it against Florida State and it was egregious. We saw it against Southern. And of course it didn't make a difference against Southern, but I said last week, I didn't like the offensive line penalties. I didn't like the penalties as a whole for this entire team. Of course it didn't make a difference against Southern, but it could make a difference in SEC play whenever you're going up against more difficult competitors. So it didn't make a difference in this game, but I do think that it really slowed this team down a bit. And Brian Kelly mentioned in his press conference how LSU really kind of shot themselves in the foot in the beginning of the game. And it's true. I always say, don't make your job more difficult. Don't do things that make your path to victory more difficult. And that's what I saw from this offensive line, from penalties and the coverage. The penalties just made their jobs more difficult. I mean, in the first drive, there were 2 false starts, one of which, I mean, it got a laugh from everyone involved, one of which the referee said, false start on the entire offensive line. Of course, the other was Garrett Dellinger. So, I mean, 2 false starts in the first drive, you're setting yourself back, you know, a few yards on each of those drives, on each of those plays. That makes your job more difficult, especially for a team who, you know, the offensive line isn't able to protect Jaden Daniels very well. So whenever you can get those gimme yard situations, you take them. And then whenever you false start dumb penalties like that, you set yourself back. That just makes your quarterback's job so much more difficult to move the ball downfield. So that was a problem. Second drive again, another false start on Charles Turner at 4th and 1. That pushes them back to 4th and 5. They're not able to convert. And that's another thing that just makes your job more difficult. 4th and 1, you probably are able to turn that into a first down. You're able to continue to move that ball down the field. 4th and 5, you know, that's really difficult to convert. You don't want to give Mississippi State better field position than they already have. So that was another thing. They continue to shoot themselves in the foot. At 4th and 1, you probably feel good about it. 4th and 5, you got a punt. So, and also Charles Turner had another false start in the second half. I know, and in that 4th and 1, situation where they weren't able to convert, the defense was able to save them on that following Mississippi State drive. They stopped them at 4th and 1. So the defense was able to kind of pull the offense out of any of the situations where they were shooting themselves in the foot. But still, you can't do that. You can't continue to make your job more difficult. Now, I say this and I want to couch it with, I understand that the offensive line has made 3 adjustments in that many games. They've had another switch up on the offensive line against Mississippi State. Emory Jones, true freshman, was in at right tackle, which, first of all, can I just say, for having 2 true freshmen out there at tackle, Emory Jones at right tackle, Will Campbell out there at left tackle, in terms of protecting the quarterback, I think they did a really solid job. So, you know, shout out to that. shout out to two true freshmen really holding it down on the offensive line, able to protect Jaden Daniels fine enough. You know, they were still able to get four sacks on the night. But I thought overall had a pretty okay day, a solid day. Okay, it was fine. But, you know, having two true freshmen out there, I think is a big testament to this true freshman class. But this team needs continuity, and you're going to continue to see these penalties, and you're going to continue to see LSU continue to shoot themselves in the foot whenever they have these penalties, because they don't have continuity. They don't have this chemistry built up that they probably would have if you have continuity from game one to game two to game three to game four. So we'll see if they continue to switch things up on the offensive line. I liked the lineup against Southern. I like to see them continue to make changes and continue to make shifts, but you're going to see these penalties continue if LSU continues to switch things up in the offensive line. So this offensive line just needs continuity. But again, you know, the penalties on the offensive line, that was kind of a problem for me. Now, this is a player that ended up on the things that I didn't like and the things that I did like list. We'll get into that coming up next. But the thing that I didn't like about this player was the Jaden Daniels missed reads. Jaden Daniels got the game ball, deservedly so. Jaden Daniels was able to engineer a great comeback in that second half for LSU. And he was really, you know, he was the captain of the offense in that second half. But still, so many times, I see Jaden Daniels defer to running the ball when there are wide open receivers. There's one play in particular where Kayshon Booty was open and, you know, he had a wide open lane where it could have been a touchdown, and Jaden Daniels instead deferred to running the ball. And he did pick up a first down. So I don't know how much I really can critique him for saying, hey, you know, you could have gotten a first down or a touchdown here, but instead you got a first down with your legs. You know, you're still making progress downfield. But it was too many times when I saw one or two or even three wide open receivers downfield and Jaden Daniels didn't make the read, or, you know, he instead decided to run the ball. And I think that's one, a maturity thing, and two, a comfort thing, where Jaden Daniels instead, you know, he might see an open read, but he wants to run it instead. And that's just, that's, I think, a result of discomfort of the offensive line, of fear of being sacked, of not trusting those receivers. And that's something that needs to be built. That's something that needs to be built in practice. And that's something that will be built throughout the rest of the season. But that's one thing that I saw from Jaden Daniels, where I just, so many times I said, he's wide open downfield, throw the football, because you're not going to be able to win very many games running the football exclusively. Let's look at Florida, for example. They had a great game against Utah. Anthony Richardson was able to run the ball, was able to get a majority of the yards, of his yards on the day on the ground. I want to say it was almost 50-50. He threw for like 160, and ran for like 110. But we've seen how Florida has fared in these last two games. Of course, a loss against Kentucky and then keeping it close against South Florida, because Kentucky was able to stop the run, because Kentucky was able to put enough pressure on Anthony Richardson that he couldn't get moving. I fear that that may happen to Jaden Daniels coming down the pipe. Once we get into, you know, more rigorous SEC play, and he's not going to be able to make those plays with his legs, that they're going to stop the run. I think everyone in the SEC is on notice of Jaden Daniels' ability to run the football, and that's a good thing. You want your quarterback to be mobile like that. But I think in order for Jaden Daniels and for this offense to be the most successful that it can be, he needs to start throwing the football a little bit more when those opportunities present themselves. Again, it's tough to critique him too much because he was making these plays and he was picking up first downs with his legs. But you need a little bit more variety, and you need to get those opportunities when they're given to you. But coming up next, three things that I did like from this game against Mississippi State. We'll get into that coming up next after a couple words from our sponsors. Three things that I did like from LSU against Mississippi State. And of course, with a 31-16 win, LSU's at 1-0 in SEC play. There were so many good things and so many things that I did like from LSU on Saturday. So first and foremost, I mentioned the one thing that I didn't like was the slow start from LSU. The first thing that I did like, it was the comeback. I mean, and that's what the differences between this LSU team against Mississippi State and this LSU team against Florida State was the comeback came at the right time, and they were able to be commanding enough and click early on enough for it to make a difference. You look at the inconsistencies in the start. First drive, like I mentioned, 3 Jaden Daniels incompletions in a row. Second drive, you go for it on 4th-and-1. You don't get it because the penalty set you back. Third drive, 3 and out. And at this point, I'm like, goodness gracious, can we please just get a few things moving on offense? Can we please convert a 3rd down? Can we pick up a 1st and 10 somewhere? Please, somebody get this offense moving. In the 4th drive, you saw more movement on the offense, at least. You see Jaden Daniels with a nice short pass to Josh Williams, and I'm like, okay, things are getting moving. And then he hands the ball off to Josh Williams to run the ball, and they fumble it. So, of course, Mississippi State gets the ball. 5th drive, 3 and out. And at this point, I'm thinking, goodness gracious, please, please pass the ball. Please move the ball downfield. And then at 6th drive, you see they pick up a 1st down on a pass to John Emery. Then Jaden Daniels is sacked at 3rd and 7, and they punt. And that's when you see the importance of the offensive line here, is when you start to get things moving and you start to get into a rhythm and you start to go up tempo, and Jaden Daniels is getting into a rhythm with his receivers. The offensive line has to do their job and stop the defense from stopping that momentum. And then the next Mississippi State possession, they score a touchdown. They're up 13-0. And then finally, at the end of the 2nd quarter, LSU is able to get into the end zone. Jaden Daniels set it up by ripping a big run, a 20-yard run. Jaden Daniels is able to set up the pass with the run, and he hits Dre Jenkins for an 8-yard pass in the end zone. And that set up a ton of momentum for the second half. I think that was massive for LSU's confidence and momentum going into the second half, because they completely dominated that second half. I mean, of LSU's 7 possessions in the 2nd quarter, they were able to score on 4 of them, 3 touchdowns, 1 field goal. I mean, they were a new team in the second half. And I don't know if that was momentum from the touchdown going into the half. I don't know if that was, a pep talk in the locker room. I don't know if that was, all right, you got a half of football under your belt. We're going to start getting things moving. We're going to start getting up tempo. We're starting to connect a little bit more. We're starting to get more chemistry. I don't know if it's a combination of all 3 of those things, but whatever adjustments that they did make at the second half were good ones. They need to continue to make those adjustments and continue to come out with that kind of energy in the first half moving forward. But I thought that comeback was wonderful. I thought the engineering of Jaden Daniels for that comeback was great. So that's why my second thing that I liked was Jaden Daniels. And that was one thing that I didn't like, was Jaden Daniels deferring to the run too much, and too many missed reads from Jaden Daniels and opportunities that could have been missed because Jaden Daniels deferred to running the ball rather than throwing the ball. But I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth here, because it's hard to critique Jaden Daniels running too much because he's just that good of a runner. I mean, he's a top 10 SEC rusher in this league. I mean, it's Mike Wright, Vanderbilt quarterback. It's Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback, surrounded by 8 running backs who lead in rushing yards in the SEC. That's just how Jaden Daniels is able to get the ball moving so much with his feet. And that is a good thing. On the night against Mississippi State, he led the team with 93 rushing yards. Like I mentioned, he set up LSU in great field position for that 1st touchdown. He was able to extend several plays on Saturday night with his feet. He was able to escape a lot of Mississippi State's pressures by escaping the pocket. He's able to make up for a lot of this offensive line's learning curve or growing pains because of his legs. And that's why Jaden Daniels is the perfect quarterback for this team right now. And the talent this team has, the personnel this team has, is while the offensive line figures out the best combination of those front 5, Jaden Daniels is able to keep things alive with his legs. So I thought his running ability, it really flashed on Saturday night against Mississippi State, and he was able to get a lot of things moving. I mean, the 1st touchdown drive, Jaden Daniels, 13-yard run, 15-yard run, and a 20-yard run, all to set up that touchdown. So, I mean, that was a huge thing for Jaden Daniels. That was a huge thing for this offense, is his ability to run the football. So while I said he needs to throw the ball a little bit more, which I stand by, he does need to throw the football more, he was able to really flash with his feet on Saturday night as well. The 3rd thing that I liked, so obvious, The defense played out of their freaking minds on Saturday night. I mean, this Mississippi State team that is known for an air raid offense, that is known for putting up 350, 400, 500 yards a game, they were limited to just around 250. I mean, Mississippi State was 3-for-14 on third down. Now contrast that to week one against Florida State. One of my biggest issues, and I believe it was one thing that I didn't like from that Florida State game, was the third down conversions, was Florida State being able to convert every single third down. I said, this defense has got to get off the field. They have got to stop Florida State on third down. Florida State converted 11 of 17 third downs in week one. Against Mississippi State on Saturday, 3 of 14 on third down. Huge improvement for this defense. I mean, in 2 weeks, they were able to completely turn around the defense on third down. So that was a huge thing. That was a huge thing for the longevity and the conditioning of this defense to just get off the field and give this offense more opportunities. So that was huge. I mean, this front seven, the entire front seven was consistently getting to Will Rogers, consistently putting pressure on him. And I said on Friday, I laid out 3 ways that LSU could win, 3 ways that LSU could lose. One of the ways that I said LSU could win is by getting pressure on the quarterback, because Will Rogers can air this ball out now. And he leads the SEC in passing yards. He leads the SEC in completion percentage. But if you get pressure on the quarterback, then those corners, their job is significantly easier. This air raid offense doesn't work as well if they can't throw the football. This air raid offense doesn't work, period, if they can't throw the football. So getting pressure on the quarterback was massive. They limited Will Rogers to just 214 yards and one touchdown. Against Memphis, he passed for 450. Against Arizona, he passed for 313. He was only at 214 against LSU. So they were really able to put a lot of pressure on Will Rogers, and it paid off. He had a 79% completion percentage coming into this game, 57% against LSU. That is a massive difference, and that is a massive step back from what he's been able to do, not just this year, but last year as well. I mean, Will Rogers was able to air the football out like crazy last year. I mean, even against LSU last year, 486 yards. This year, 214. That is a big shift, and that is a massive testament to Matt House and the way that this defense continues to evolve. So defense did a great job getting to the quarterback and putting pressure on Will Rogers. B.J. Ojulari was on him all day. He had a sack and a half, 2.5 tackles for loss. And it wasn't just one guy. I think that's really the key to this front seven, this front four, this defense as a whole, is it's not just one pass rusher. It's not just one pass disruptor. There are guys that can do it all. And there are guys that, you know, if let's say B.J. Ojulari gets double teamed, well, Harold Perkins will be right there because he also had a sack and a half and 1.5 tackles for loss in the night. Savion Jones had a sack. He had a great night. Jay Ward played out of his mind. And we've really seen him settle into this nickel role. He came in against Florida State. He played more of a free safety role. So he's shifted more into nickel, and it's really paid off because he led the team in tackles. He had 11 tackles, 1.5 for loss, and an interception at the end of the game to seal LSU's victory over Mississippi State. Mississippi State was driving into field goal territory. That interception just completely squashed any momentum that they had for the rest of the game with about 1.5, 2 minutes left of the game. So that was huge. The defense as a whole, putting pressure on the quarterback, making big plays. That was really sealed the game for LSU. While the offense was getting things moving in the second half, the defense was able to shut Mississippi State down. So another one, Micah Baskerville. We talked about him a lot after the Southern game. I said, I want to see more from Micah Baskerville because we didn't hear a lot about him going into the season. We didn't see a lot from him in fall camp. He had 8 tackles on the night. He continues to prove to be just an absolute, you know, disruptor against opposing offenses. But 3 things that I did like: the defense, obviously, they had a great, great, great game. If the defense continues to play like this, LSU is in great shape. Jaden Daniels' running ability, and also that comeback in the second half. I mean, that was a really great testament to see how this team can come back from adversity, how they can really battle back, and how they're not going to be phased, one, and also two, their momentum and their endurance in second half of games. Because I've seen so many times, not just LSU, but just teams in general, you had a massive lead, going into the half, you might get lazy, you might kick your feet up a little bit, or you might just not have the conditioning to be able to finish games like this. And LSU has proved absolutely that they do. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Again, 31-16 win over Mississippi State. LSU's got a tally in the win column in SEC play. Now moving on to New Mexico. But thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And coming up on tomorrow's podcast, we'll have my game balls, offense, defense, and special teams, players that I think really stood out. Plus, we'll hear from what Brian Kelly had to say in his post-game press conference. But you can get more on the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. Make Locked On SEC your second listen.